So talking about an important topic tonight, which is relevant to Halacha Lemaisa, I'll frame things by saying that next week, hopefully, we are going to talk about corporations and ribis. Some of it is based on what we're talking about tonight. We're going to see how long we're going to go. I'm very, very tired. So we're going to see how long we can go tonight. But we'll try to say things out and organize them, hopefully in a nice way. The Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Samech Tesem Beis quotes in the name of Rava, a very important and well-known line. At first glance, it's a line which is almost like so obvious. We have to clarify a little bit what it's referring to. The Gemara says, "Lo asra Torah el ribis haba'a mi lovet lemalve." The only kind of ribis which is really considered to be prohibited is the kind of ribis where the lovet pays the malve the ribis. Okay, that seems to be pretty straightforward. That's what ribis is. Lend me $1,000 and I'll pay you back $1,000 plus whatever the interest happens to be. So what's the chiddush here? So Rava explains here in the Gemara, this is what we assume halacha lemaisa, or what we assume Rambam Hilchos Malva Lova Perakei Halacha Yedalet, the Shulchan Aruch and Yerodeya and Siman Kuf Samech Sifkat and Gimel, that there are times where ribis may be permitted as long as it's not paid from the Lova to the Malva, but rather a payment could take place in addition to the actual amount that the loan was worth, as long as it's done with a third party. What are the exact cases that are quoted here? So one, we'll read it from the Rambam. Mutar la'adam litein l'chaveiro dinar, kidei she'yilva l'ploni mea dinarim. That I am allowed to pay Ariel money so that he will, I say, here's $100, so that you will now loan Ami $100. Ami's going to pay back $100 also. The Ariel-Ami connection, it's $100 loan for $100. Just I paid Ariel money in order for him to go and lend Ami money, or a similar case. Ami can say to me, here's some money. Can you go and convince Ariel to lend me money? In both of those cases, it is not that the deal is just between two people. And it's not that Ami, no matter what, has a loan of $100 with Ariel. He borrowed $100 from Ariel. He's paying back $100. Just maybe I paid Ariel some extra money to give Ami a loan, or Ami paid me some money for me to come along and convince Ariel to give it. But as far as Malva and Lova, Ami borrowed $100. He paid back $100. There just happens to have been a third party that helped facilitate the loan. Someone paid me, and it was a bit of a third party to help go with. But as far as the relationship of Malva and the Lova, the Malva made no extra money at the expense of the loss of the Lova. That is the Gemara there in Bava Metzia and Samech Tesem Beis. That's the Rambam Hilchos Malva Ulova. That as long as you get a third party to pay it off, so then you are entirely good to go. Rabbi Reisman, Rishiva Tarvadas, in his Sefer on the Laws of Ribis, quotes a practical nafkamina which could emerge from here. There is a reality that sometimes a person gets up and they start giving shiurim on ribis. And let's say it's a crowd, not in a yeshiva, or people here probably don't have that many business deals costing them a lot of money. But a person gets up and they give a shiur about ribis, and the person in the crowd realizes, oh my gosh, I think I'm in the middle of a ribis loan. Was listening to a shiur by Rabbi Sablowski on Hilchos Ribis, and he said, well, last week's shiur cost someone $4,000, so we're going to try this week's shiur to keep it down for the, people will just stop coming at some point, it is what it is. So what about the following case? The guy's in the room, and he's realizing, oh my gosh, I am the lova on a ribis loan. I borrowed money from a Jew. I committed to pay ribis. So what do I do right now? I'm the lova on a ribis loan. So what do I do? So if the guy's a from guy, the guy I borrowed money from, so now I'm out to pay extra. I made a commitment to pay ribis. It's not like I'm the malva and I can just say, okay, I'm going to forego the ribis. Don't pay me back interest. Just pay me back the principal. It's all good. But I'm the lova right now, and I'm in an awkward position because I'm going to go over to Ari and say, Ari, by the way, remember how I committed when I borrowed the money to pay you extra? Not really. It's not going to happen because that's called ribis. So if Ari's also a good from guy, so Ari will say, okay, it was an awkward thing for me to tell him, but he's going to agree. He's going to agree. He'll say, okay, fine, I'm willing to waive the fee. But what if, and this can certainly happen, the business deal that you were with was with a person that's not willing to forego, not willing to forego the ribbis. They say, we made a deal. We made a deal. I want my money back. Could be it's a person that's not observant and from a pure business perspective doesn't understand how that could possibly be. Could be a person that is observant but isn't sufficiently sensitive to the laws of ribbis. It could be anything. So what do you do in a case like that? You committed to a loan. What do you do? Says Rabbi Reisman, what the rabbi who answers this shaila can do sometimes is I can go to a third party. I can go to a third party and I can say, Shalom, you know, Ari borrowed money from someone. I borrowed money from, you would say, these two guys, money was borrowed. Would you be willing to, as a third party, to pay off the extra interest? Would you be willing to pay off the extra interest? A third party, he's doing whoever the lova was a favor. He's doing the lova a favor, but there's no iser of ribis. Now, for Shalom to be willing to do that, he is essentially going to be losing money. He is committing to pay the actual ribis. Okay, but maybe he's willing to do that if he's a relative or a close friend, and otherwise the lova is going to be really stuck. Maybe Shalom is okay. It'll take a toll on the cholent funds, but you know that he would never be willing to do. That I'm about to say never be willing to do, but it could be that he. I mean, honestly, that would be about how much the ribis probably costs. But he's willing to do it. Now, not only that, it happens to be a liba de emes. It can't be done with the lova committing to pay Shalom back. But if at a later point in time he wants it on his own to just reimburse Shalom, that's totally mutter. That's not called ribis. Once he's already paid back on his own, I can reimburse him later. So says Rav Reisman, you know, it seems like this, like, how often would this come up? So the answer is, it could come up stum decently often. You know, guy wants to borrow money, but you're nervous. But the law, so I say, listen, here's $100, give him the loan. You know, it is what it is. Or you know that I'm in with someone, you pay me a little bit so I can go convince him that it could happen. But this case, you find out in the middle, you already committed to ribis, so get a third party to pay off the loan. A third party pays it off. That's not considered to go from malvet to lovet. That is that's considered to be fine as long as you keep the fact that the lova is paying the malva the set amount. That's classically what is there. General clarity thus far. One. Yeah, what's up? All but the evet. No. Could be that lechatchila we could do this. No. That revised in the case is the evet. Yeah, you can't commit to the loan and then do that move. Yeah, that you can't do. It's like I know I have a friend who's like a really firm guy and he wants to prevent me from violating the Yisrael Rivas. So this is the deal. I'm going to borrow the money to Ribis. You, Rabbi, go over to him. Tell Shalom. He's a religious guy. He's totally, totally going to. Yeah, that doesn't work that way. Now, let's just clarify a little bit. There are going to be two main Mahalchim in Rishonim in how they understand an interesting question. The Rashba, the Ritva, the Ramban, the Ravid, there in Maseches Bav Metziah. Tosfos in Kiddushin and Davav Amid Beis, they're all pretty much in one camp. We're going to see there are nuanced differences between them, but they're all in one camp. They all say, when the Gemara says that it has to go Malve to Lova, that I can't, if I appoint a Shliach, let's say Ami decides he wants to appoint a Shliach to pay Ribis to Ariel, that's Aser. That's as if it went from Malve to Lova. Appointing a shliach, we understand the Gemara tells us, "Sucho shal adam kemoso." If I appoint a shliach to do so, it's as if I did. That's not considered to be. That's not really a third party. A third party is when a guy from the outside comes in. If you're my messenger and you go and you pay someone off, so it's kiilu I pay the guy extra money. So if I borrowed money from Ariel, I say I borrowed $100 from him, and Ariel says only for $120. I can't then say, well, let me give Sam the 120. Sam will then pay Ariel. No, that's considered to be Aser also. The only issue that the Rishonim really sort of debate is in what kinds of circumstances should we be concerned that it looks like the third party is really my shliach or is not really my shliach. Like, where do we draw the line with some of this? behavior, some of this behavior. Tosfos writes as an example in Kiddushin and the Vav Mebeis, V'yesh lomar ha'inu she'ein ha'lo v'nosein klum l'nosein. Avayim ha'yinosein ha'yinire k'shlucho. Meaning, if I would like first pay Ariel, and I say, Ariel, can you give the money to Ami to convince him to lend me whatever it is? That would be problematic. That would have to be that the third party that's paying is paying on his own, not that I gave him money in order to then give the money to the Malveh. He has to be willing to pay on his own. The Rashba writes, a bit of a machlokas, he quotes the Ravid. What if I'm borrowing money? I'm sorry, we didn't keep the people the same, so it's so much less clear. We're going to go back. Ami's borrowing money from Ariel. So what if, says the Ravid, you can pull this move of a third party helping out, of me coming in to pay Ariel, you know, in order to lend Ami money, but it's only v'hu shalo diber halova im hamalva b'shum ribis. Avam diber imova amrle anilo etein lecha avaploni ohavi yitein lecha mishalo. Then that's aser. What about the following case? Says the Ravid. The following shaila, it's a machlokas harishonim. What if I'm going to pay? Ami comes over to Ariel, and Ami says to Ariel, "Ariel, can you please lend me $100?" And Ariel says, "Sure, but I want you to pay me back $120." So what Ami says is as follows: listen, there are rules of ribis. I can only pay you $100, but I know that Turetsky, or I know that Shalom, they're going to end up paying out of their own money. They will step up and they'll pay those extra 20. That's similar to the move that Ami was asking about before. Meaning, Ami comes along, Ami says to Ariel, they talk it out. You want an extra $20? A third party will pay it, but I'm not paying him for that. So Ami's not really losing money. But he's willing to, is that okay or not? The Ravid says no. The Ramban, the Rashba quote says, "V'ein Ramban moda lo bedavar zeh, v'kevin lo asra Torah el ribis haba milo v'lemalve, v'lo v'zeh eino nosei misha lo klum mipnei ma aser." So we have the following shayla. It's chaz a little bit, so that things can be like a little bit clear. Generally speaking, in the world of ribis, Rava taught us that the only time you really violate ribis is when I give from my money more than I borrowed, and the Malva makes a profit as a result. Lova to Malva, I lose and he makes money. That's the normal way. That's called ribis. If, however, a third party loses money, or it's a third party that makes the money, that's not called ribis. So if I pay a third party to convince the Malva, or a third party pays the Malva, since I didn't lose, ribis is I lose and he makes a profit. If that's not what's going on, it's not called ribis. However, if someone's really my shliach, that's not really called a third party. Because really my shliach is not called a third party. The Rishonim speak a little bit about what would the din be? What would the halacha be if he's not really my shliach, but it looks a little bit like he's my shliach? I'm not losing any money. But lemaisa, I'm talking it out in advance with the Malva, me, the Lova, and the Malva, we're talking it out. We really say, you will get your extra $20, but it won't come at the expense of my loss. The Ravid says, it looks like he's really your shliach, though. If you talk it out, Lova and Malva first, make that commitment, it looks like he's your shliach. The Ramban says, no, as long as I didn't lose money. That's not called ribis. And therefore, it would not be a problem. Therefore, it would not be a problem at all. That's like one shaila. That's one shaila that the Rashba has. And there are other shailas that come up. Yeah. We'll get there in a little bit. Fair question. Let's get there right now. There is a very different camp in Rishonim. There's a very, very different camp in Rishonim. It's a very famous sheet of Rashi. The sheet of Rashi, which is not quoted in Rashi in our Gemara, it's a tshuva of Rashi. The Shud Rashi and Simen Kufay and Zion. Rashi had tshuvas also. It is also quoted in the Mordechai in Bab Metzia, this tshuva of Rashi. And this tshuva of Rashi is a very different reading of the Gemara. It's a very different reading of the Gemara in the following way. Up until now, the way that we have been explaining things is similar to what the Tartmima writes on the sheet. which is that ribbis is only when the lova loses money and the malva makes money. Okay, that's what it is. But if a third party gets involved, and it's a third party making money, a third party losing money, there's not a problem at all. Says Rashi, I think the Gemara is actually teaching us a much simpler and much more basic chiddush. When the Gemara says it's only ribbis if it goes from lova to malva, that means the actual lova pays the actual malva. But says Rashi in Tshuvas, if you would appoint a shliach, ribbis would be mutter. So ribbis is always mutter ayde shliach, malva to lova. No, but ayde shliach, it's considered to be totally, totally fine. If you take Rashi at face, says Rashi, but don't we say shlucho shel adam kemoso? Doesn't the Gemara tell us in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Kiddushin that really the shliach is like me? So if I appoint the shliach and that shliach pays the ribbis, don't we assume that ki'ilu I pay the ribbis, malve to lova? It's as if I did it. How can I give over a ribbis al yedei shliach? So says Rashi, ein shliach lidvar avera. Since ribbis is an iser, and with a couple of exceptions found in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Kiddushin, we always assume there's no shliach lidvar avera. So you get a little bit of a chop here. Even though I sent the shliach with the money, and it was my financial loss, and it's the malva's financial gain, but it's not halachically viewed as if the ribbis came from the lova to the malva, because there was an independent middle guy there. What are you talking about? How can you call him an independent middleman? He's not an independent middleman. Halachically, he is, because ein shliach l'dvar avera. If I ever send someone to perform an avera, so if I'm involved in the case, so then me to him, that's called ribbis between two Jews, that's an iser. So we assume ein shliach l'dvar avera. So says Rashi. What ends up being relevant, therefore, is the following idea. There are limitations on the chalos of shlichas. Typically, we assume shulchan adam kemoso is relatively sweeping. I can appoint a messenger, but not always a tshuva, tovus ritzari, tovus v'chanan. You know, you can't appoint a shliach to put tefillin on for you. You got to put on your own tefillin. And also for averas, you don't always have the capacity to appoint a shliach for dvar vera. Now, parentheses, this is on the side. We are not speaking right now about ein shliach dvar vera. We're not speaking about the sugin bav metzian daf yud that I imagine some of the hands that were raised somehow related to. We're not speaking about Tosfos there. We're not speaking about Reb Chaim or Shita Lono Dolami, beginning of Kiddushin, or a Sma, or any of those things, or a Yad Ramah. We're speaking about none of those things right now, about the details of ein shliach l'dvar avera. We're good. We got it. Okay. Someone will give a brew one of these Thursdays. Ein shliach dvar avera. They'll do a nice job. It is what it is. That's not what we're doing. On Maisa, what happens is as follows. You have two main camps of Rishonim. There's a line that ribbis is only when it's malva lova, lova la malva. Everybody agrees. If an independent third party pays the malva money to agree to a loan, if the lova pays a third party to convince the malva, that's for sure not considered to be real ribbis. That's not what the Torah really asserts. There is, however, a very important machlokas harishonim. Machlokas harishonim is, what about the following cases? What if you're appointing a real shliach to pay? Is that called malva lova? So that only Rashi seems to be makel with. If I appoint a shliach, that's not considered to be a direct lova to malva, and ribbis is okay. Other rishonim all question, no, you can't appoint a shliach, and you can't even do things, potentially, that make it look like the third party is your shliach. So you can't commit to pay him afterwards. You can't maybe even talk it out, malva lova first, about how someone will come. And there are a lot of other details, halacha lemaisa, how exactly you're going to figure this out. How do we paskin halacha lemaisa? So this matters a lot, because if you paskin like Rashi, we just have now our awesome workaround for all halachas of ribbis. Ribbis halacha should not really apply so frequently, because anytime that you want ribbis, all you have to do is find a shliach. If it's not from malva to lova, if it's through a shliach, l'chor it is entirely okay. So how do we paskin? So you find a couple of really interesting things as follows. The Shulchan Aruch, unsurprisingly, paskins in Tuf Samech in Sifkat and Tes Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch does not quote this heter of Rashi at all. The Shulchan Aruch does not assume that you are allowed to do that. The Shulchan Aruch is makel that you could tell your friend, here's some money, can you convince him to lend me money? The first case, he agrees that you're allowed to have an independent third party. As long as you're not losing money, he's not making money, you are entirely good to go. But the Shulchan Aruch does not quote Rashi at all. Not only does the Shulchan Aruch not quote Rashi at all, but the Beis Yosef even maintains, he has a variety of questions on Rashi, he finds it impossible that Rashi would actually have thought that you could give a shliach ribis, and that would uproot or undo the ribis money. And the Beis Yosef even says, Umashmali, shlo hitir Rashi davar zeh me'olam, ella eze talmid toeh kasvo, bitvitala atzmo be'ilan gadol. It must be that Rashi never really said this. He just like inserted his tshuva into like Rashi's tshuvas to make it seem like it was really Rashi. But I can't even believe, says the Beis Yosef, that Rashi himself would ever actually say that. Who else buys this idea that there's no way it was really said by Rashi? The Bira Gra also, the Gra also says, Ukvar kasvu Beis Yosef ulevush vitash utaos gadol ve'eze talmid toeh kasvo. There's no way that it's possibly true. It really can't be. Talmid toeh kasvo, parentheses. I always wonder when these things are said. Do they really suspect it was a Talmud Torah that was kasvo? Or is it the respectful way to say, there's just no way that that's actually true. I can't fathom that Rashi really said it. Like if you give him a polygraph, like did Rashi write that in Tshuva? I was like, what would they say? I always wonder, sometimes it's a literary tool to say like, there's no way they would have said that. I can't believe, you know, that it was possible that was really said. However, the Ramah comes along and the Ramah there in Yoredeya, in Simen Kuf Samech Sifkat and Tes Zayin, the Ramah says that maybe it would be okay. Says the Ramah v'Yisomer, Shemutter l'Yisrael, Lomer l'Chaver Yisrael, I could say to my friend, Leich v'Hil v'Li Ma'os Miploni Yisrael b'Ribis, U'Mutter l'Osetz Arachach Ribis, L'Shaliach l'Havilo. I can give a Shliach Ribis, and he'll go pay it off. The Lo'as V'Torah El Ribis Abba, Miyad Lo V'Li Ma'ove. V'Shliach Eino Oseh Shom Iser. The Shliach is not doing an Iser, why? D'Hai Ribis Lav Didehu. He's not buying an Iser of Ribis, the Shliach, because, well, he's not the Malve or the Love or the Arev. He isn't buying an Iser of Ribis. What about me? No, V'imi Shem Shulayim Kamoso, Ein Shulch Dvar Veira. Okay. Now, the Ramah, that's a big deal. The Shach also quotes and assumes like this Rashi. An amazing thing. Nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, this Rashi gets weakened like crazy, done by the Ramah, and will unpackage the extent to which it is impossible or very difficult to rely on Rashi. Says the Ramah as follows, step one, v'ein lefarsim hadarar bifnei am ha'aretz. Okay? You can't spread this, you know, to amaratzim. So if you go to a ribbish year every Thursday night, and you're learning the halachas of ribbis, so then, you know, you're entitled to a little bit of some information here to make your life a little bit simpler. So you know this kula of the tshuva of Rashi. If you don't, so you don't deserve to know this kula. Okay, I said that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but that isn't even the biggest issue. But he says, V'chein Iker, says the Ramah, I think, Taka, you can hold like this. Even though some people think it's not okay, yes, lismoch alav le'ez sarech. If you really, really need, you can rely on this. But, says a couple, there are even more qualifications. Not only should you not publicize it, but says the Ramah, im halove kibel hamoz ba'atzvo min hamalve rach shaleach lo ribis aser. You have to get the money through a shliach. You have to give the payment back through shliach. Otherwise, you're too involved in the case than the Malva Lova end. It isn't only that you have to pay back through Shliach, you have to get the money through Shliach also. And further, says the Ramah, if it's a real loan, you'll often write a document. It's a significant loan. Not a $5, you know, can I borrow a couple of dollars to pay Cholent to buy the Cholent tonight? But rather, it's something else. Instead, you want to have a document saying what the loan really is,
So then, says Rama, if you're going to do that in the document itself, it can't have the shtar be that the loan is really al shem hamalva and al shem halova. That if the shtar itself really says it, as if like it really is the malva and the lova, the shtar itself could create more of a problem. Tachlis, the third party move, the real third party move, according to Shulchan Aruch, that is something which could really be done. The Rav Reisman case is one example, but also the case of just me, you know, paying someone, you convince them to lend me money. You paying the malva, lend the money. There are additional halachic qualifications in poskim if you ever wanted to actually do this. So if you ever want to actually do it, we have to go through a little bit more of the practical halacha for what you have to do, but fundamentally that is on the books as something which you could do. What about this tshuva of Rashi? What about this tshuva of Rashi? Can you go through a shliach? So the answer is, my understanding is in general, not really. The qualifications, first of all, the Beis Yosef is a big name in Psak. The Gra is a big name in Psak. The Ramah is comfortable only relying on a Beis HaTzorech and says not to do it, not to be a farce with Tamaratzim. The Ramah says it has to be done, a shliach in that direction, to this direction. It can't have names and stars. It's very hard to work out. What you will sometimes find, however, is that sometimes this tshuva of Rashi, quoting the Ramah, will be quoted in Shilohs of Hilchos Ribbis, at least at times, I believe, as like an extra sniff lehakel. Like if you're talking about a case which is potentially borderline, you're not so sure, and it happens to be there's a shliach engaged or a shliach involved in the case, sometimes you'll be able to have an additional sort of a sniff lehakel alpi this particular tshuva of Rashi. There's also nice and important questions about malva lova. I'll end with just an intriguing question. Normally, when you say it's only malva to lova, so you really talk about third parties. You talk about third parties. Rabbi Yonah Reis, who is the Av Beis Din of the CRC in Chicago, wrote something a while ago. It could be his sefer also. Have over there, Kanfei Yonah, the blue sefer. Second shelf, put your hand up on me for a second. Right to the right, a little bit. One more, is that right there? Can you pass it up? It could be it's in there also. Where he wrote a tshuva about whether you could. Now, the details of this, we're not going to go through. It's going to sound exceptionally odd. But can you pay yourself ribbis? Can you pay yourself ribbis? How would it ever happen? And that makes no sense. And why would there ever be a chashash? So that is a fair question. The topic is, let me see if I sit in here. Yes. It's Simon Tesvav in his sefer. It has to do with the way in the real world of finance, people sometimes have pensions, which they may not be able to really access. And sometimes you want to take loans out against your own pensions and the bank gets involved. The details are beyond me right now, certainly at this time of night. But he does go through trying to wonder more in that direction, not into the third party, but could there ever be a chashash if it's going to be within you? He knows that it's a wild idea, but he points out that that the question could be lemaisa. If you ever want to borrow money against your pension, the pension is under your name, but there are rules that you have to pay your pension back a certain kind of ribbis, and why he thinks that potentially there could be some sort of an issue there. This, again, we're foreshadowing some issues next week about non-direct malva lova, how that plays out in terms of corporations. We'll speak about Ezra Shem next week. Hope you all have a wonderful rest of your evening.